I just slipped through an exam, and you're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
From the Big Smoke itself, Tamaki Makaurau, she's recently put out a track called Chill Cool Girl, which is the subject of conversation this morning. She's also an actor, voice actor, and stunt performer, which is incredible, a quadruple threat. Good morning to you, Greta Vandenbrink. How are we doing?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
I'm very glad to hear. We're chilling here at the station. I had a very, it feels like a Mediterranean breakfast. I had almond butter with honey, which feels quite, on toast.
I was like, what, just by itself? Just like a spoonful of that, a spoonful of that, and then on your bike.
Yeah, literally on my bike. Yeah. I was biking around this morning. Yeah. But that was cool. I'm feeling very energetic this morning. What's the vibe with you?
I love that. I'm on the teas this morning. I feel like recently I've been leaning on the coffees and it's been a lot. And so I'm back to teas. So I'm like, I am chilling. It's good. The vibes are good.
Are we feeling herbal teas or are we going some of the like English sort of, chamomile, so on and so forth?
No, we're on like, there's this very specific tea and it's called Paris and it's from this brand, Harney & Sons. And it's just my happy tea. Like, I get excited to put the tea bag in the cup. Like, it's a great tea. I 10 out of 10 recommend. You put a little bit of milk with it. It's like,
Morning ritual.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Glad to hear. I was really trawling for some information about your past, your checkered past. I didn't find anything too crazy, but I did find some voice samples on a voiceover website, which is quite bizarre to hear. And I want to know,
how
do you find voice work compared to on-screen work when it comes to acting?
That is so funny. That is not what I thought you were going to bring up. I haven't done lots and lots of voice work, but it is... It's fun to do. It's so different from acting, but it is really, really fun to do. And it's different because the only kind of source of information a listener is getting is your voice. So it's either like you're over animating things or whatever. And it can become quite technical because everything gets broken down, especially if you've got someone in the other booth or, across being like, all right, more this, more that. And so it becomes a real thing of levels.
Also, when they give you sort of vague instructions, like talk more flowery with a sort of a summary kind of accent, like that it's confusing. How do you follow that?
I know vague notes can be so funny because if you do then hit the nail on the head with the vague note and you feel invincible, and then other times it's like, it's almost as though there is a language barrier. It's like a creative language barrier and you're like, okay. Go again.
Quite a multifaceted person, as I mentioned before, doing stunt acting, acting, voice acting, now music. Is there a sort of common thread that drives all your participation in the arts world?
Yeah, I mean, I think, which is funny, when I was younger, I never thought I was a creative person. Now I've realised I definitely am, but I liked doing lots of different things, and I think I like being around lots of different people, and even though that is still within the creative industry or industries, there are lots of different types of people through there, and I'm a real people person, and I think I just feel so fulfilled by that. But film sets especially, it's a whole bunch of different people coming together to make this thing. They've all got different skills and talents and, that was just something that really lit me up. And so, yeah, I think that's sort of the draw card to that, if that sort of answers the question.
The whanaungatanga of it all.
Yes, if you will.
Yes, if you will, if one will. A chill, cool girl, the name of your new track, is a phrase you've kind of concocted, and it describes an early part of a romance where you can be quite placid, unbothered, you laugh at unfunny jokes to make someone like you because they like the noise of you laughing, which is a great lyric, by the way. And it's sort of performs for the male gaze or expectations around kind of femininity. Is there another way? Is it just another way of saying, long-term, long-distance, low-commitment, casual girlfriend from the Barbie film?
I mean, it could be. Mm-hmm. I think the chill, cool girl was, and it's not necessarily at the beginning of every relationship, but I think there was something I was thinking about the other day, and actually when I was talking to my best mate, the day before I wrote this song, we were talking about, the early stages of relationship, and I think women, and I know I've had this, and to be honest, this just can be anyone, but I know specifically I've had it early on in a relationship, and you've heard about, like, a crazy ex, and you've heard about these stories and stuff, or, you know, and you've been sort of, talking, and you go like, oh God, I don't want to be anything like her, and I don't want to remind you of someone who is, like, quote unquote crazy, when really they probably just, like, had boundaries and wanted to be treated well or whatever. And this real fear of sort of becoming this crazy unhinged girl, and you're like, okay, well, so to flip that, I'll be totally chill and I'll be totally cool and I'll have no boundaries and like laugh at the jokes, and even when things are a little bit off, it's like, the fear of conflict, I think, was a massive point in the song. And to avoid conflict, I will just sort of, like, it's like, you know, when dogs roll belly up and they're like, no, I submit. Like, it's sort of like that. Like, I'll just sort of laugh and smile, and hopefully that will get me around it. But then if you're building a relationship, you're building it on lies, because that's not who you are. I hope it's not who you are. That's sort of what it's about.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting you mention when people talk about, you know, crazy ex or whatever, because more I've encountered people talking about that, the more the phrase two sides to every story has come into play. You can never trust a biased narrator. It's just, you know.
No, you're so right. Yeah, I know. And it's funny. I think the more of a big deal that people make out about their ex, often, you're so right. There's two sides to every story. And, No, I agree.
Do you find that being the cool, chill girl can sometimes spill out into the sort of later stages of a relationship when you're already, you know, together?
Yeah, I think it can. I think, communication in a relationship is so important. And I think the chill, cool girl comes out when you stop communicating and you stop being honest about the things that you need and want. I also think that the chill, cool girl then creates the kind of, like, quote unquote crazy ex, because you've sort of held it together for so long, and then you can't anymore because it's not real, it's not true. There's things that you need to function as a human being and to be in that relationship and to make it healthy, and then it's sort of like it all becomes too much, and then it explodes and it becomes the straw that broke the camel's back kind of thing. So I think that manifests into this big blowout where it's just, you can't handle it anymore.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy in many ways.
Yeah.
The music video for this new track is quite dark. It's got all sorts of unsettling horror or thriller imagery. There's knives being pointed at faces. There's fingers gripping all over faces. There's faces going onto, like, glass panes and going all mushy. There's a lot of stuff going on with faces. It's shot incredibly well. The lighting is superb. I know that you work in the field of acting and stunt performing for some big companies like Netflix. Were these friends from the industry making the video?
No, they actually weren't. I think most of the people the thing about working on those massive shows is that all of those people then have massive paychecks, and I don't have the budget for that just yet. So I worked with some incredible creatives. Luke Penny and James Moore were sort of the helm of that. James Moore was my DP and Luke Penny was my director. And then I had a bunch of other guys who were just incredible, and then a whole lot of actor friends that came on. And I felt just incredibly lucky to be working with them and seeing, like, the things that what I had imagined in my brain and how I'd seen it in my brain, I was now watching it on a monitor. And that was just the coolest feeling, because I've worked on these really big shows, which has been incredible and I've loved it. And I've also been a part of really amazing shots where the lighting's beautiful and maybe there's a bit of Atmos and, you know, just everything, the frame's gorgeous. But it kind of means nothing because it's not mine. Like, it's fun to be a part of, but I don't have any skin in the game or anything. So it was crazy to look at an image and being like, not only did that come from my brain, but, like, I own this. This is for me. Like, this is for my project. That it was just the most empowering, coolest sort of, feeling.
Mm-hmm. There's a really awesome homage in the video with you at a table, and it's very dark and there's a beam of light striking down on you, and it's a homage to the Last Supper painting. How did you strike the lighting that well. How did that happen?
Honestly, that was almost an accident at the end of the day, which was funny because we'd been shooting day for night, and then that was sort of to almost look like the next morning, but there were some massive windows and we'd taped up, sort of black sheets over them and just torn a little bit from the sheet. And then, yeah, we had a light outside pointing down, and it just, I remember we were all looking at the table just going like, this is so beautiful. Like before we even put anyone in it, we were like, this is crazy. But it's funny. Yeah. Like before we made this video, the Last Supper, just the painting kept coming into my brain, and I didn't know why, because it's so different to the sound, like sonically. Like the video and the sound and the track don't match, but I think that's how I would like to move forward. I'd like to make contrasting videos so they can complement each other, it can complement the track, but I'm not really interested in matching something and going like, oh yes, that's what I expected from this sound. But yes, I had like Pan's Labyrinth sort of dancing around my mind, like, you know, when she goes underworld and sees the monster and this massive dinner, like this big feast, and mm-hmm. very like Saltburn images. It was great talking with Luke. He just sort of knew what was in my brain, and collaborating with him was amazing. Mm-hmm. And Babylon, Margot Robbie wearing this red dress. That's what I was sort of wearing red because I was like, I really love that with that kind of light. And yeah, it was really fun to just sort of take these films and sort of, yeah, create what I wanted to make out of them.
Mm-hmm. I noticed how frenetic the video gets when there's just more and more people joining for the dinner party, and it just gets really scrambly. It gets quite claustrophobic. And I was wondering, was the 2017 horror film Mother a visual reference for that?
That's so funny. As you were saying that, I was like, that's a lot like Mother. It wasn't, but I did love that film. But it's on that, I think it's the feeling of Mother, like that unsettling feeling. Like we'd also sort of danced around Midsummer as well, like just that, the feeling that it's unsettling. It was not an inspiration, but yeah, looking back, I think it very much ties into the video. That feeling of, there was sort of like a Hotel California aspect to it, in terms of like you're at this place and then it's sort of all really cool and great, and then all of a sudden you realize you can't leave even if you wanted to. I think that was a really big part, being at a dinner party and all of a sudden like violently sobering up and then seeing things get weirder and weirder, and like not in a fun way when the night goes off and everyone gets a bit crazy. It's like, no, this is really like really weird. Dark. And I don't want to be here anymore, but yeah. I can't leave.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I think it was, rather than just people being drunk and crazy and you're like, oh, that, you know, that's kind of funny. It was like, no, there are like faces and there's knives, and it's like, no, this is, all of a sudden we're like, I don't like this anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned not wanting to make things feel too similar to the song, but I think that definitely kind of gives the vibe of the claustrophobia that the cool chill girl definitely feels. And that track is going to be on your new album that is going to be coming out in 2026 called This Wasn't Planned. Can we expect sort of more self-effacing, self-critical bangers like Chill Cool Girl?
Absolutely. I think, my writing is definitely me picking apart aspects of myself and going like, so why do we do this? At one point, the album was going to be called Tripping Over Yesterday, and now there's just a track later in the album that's called Tripping Over Yesterday. But it was that idea of like, here are all these things that I need to address for me to be able to move forward, rather than keep going around and just making the same mistakes. That whole, you know, the definition of madness is just making the same decisions and expecting a different outcome. There's lots of different tracks. There's songs about sort of the industry. There's sort of songs about anxiety and being very confused. There's songs about being lost. I definitely never set out with the theme of being like, this song's going to be about this. It's very much how I see it, is that songs already know what they want to be like. Or this is just my experience. This wasn't like what I projected onto writing. This is just what I've found so far, is that the song already knows what it wants to be, and it sort of reveals itself to you progressively. And if you can listen closely enough, and not just with your ears, kind of like with every fiber of your being, you'll get to what the essence of what that thing is.
Mm-hmm. In other words, you could say it wasn't planned.
And also while we were writing it, my producer said, I don't want to scare you, but I think we might be writing an album. And I was like, okay, I think we're just writing singles, but all right. And then, by the end of it, we had an album, and this wasn't planned.
Beautiful stuff, man. I really want to thank you for your time and coming on the program, Greta. I just have one final question. Do you have any words of wisdom to all the chill, cool girls out there struggling, doing it tough?
to all the chill, cool girls, I think, what is it that you really want to say? And can you find a way of saying it without blowing up? What is it that you really need right now? What are you hiding? I think is the, a bit of self-reflection, maybe some journaling or looking in the mirror. I sometimes have to like look myself in the eye and be like, what are you doing?
Goddamn monkey.
Yeah, literally. You're like, hey.
Yeah. Alrighty. Thank you so much for coming on for these very dark chats. I appreciate it, man. Take care.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. All right, folks. That was Greta Vandenbrink. We're talking to her about her new track, Chill Cool Girl, which is out now. We're going to play it for you, and then we're going to have some clowning around here on The One. You are listening to Radio 1. Keep it locked. Bye.
I've lied myself into a corner, one that I cannot escape. But you said you hated her perfume, so I'd never make that mistake. I know that she loves the Beatles.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. But find more at r1.co.nz.